discuss a little less than an extreme case. Bav Machter is the most extreme example of, you have a ganav in your house, you're going to try to stop him, he might try to kill you. So Mamela, you're allowed to kill him first before he kills you. But that's one example of a very extreme situation, which is, you know, you could debate how common it is. Last week we spoke about, like, is the chazaka that the ganav, every ganav who's coming in is really violent? There are many non-violent offenders that, you know, they consider themselves to be just burglars, they plan out dafka such a way that they don't ever encounter the homeowners. They'll steal when the homeowners are not there or whatever. So that was a machlokas rishonim in terms of who's initiating the violence. But what you find somewhat more commonly is that you can have, let's say, a shoplifter, or you can have a ganav who's a car thief, or he's coming in, he's not a break-in artist, but he sees an opportunity, your front door is open, so he just wants to run in and grab what he can, or he's a joyrider, and he walks up and down the block, pulling on all the car door handles to see which one opens. Once it opens already, he'll try it.
You can't assume that he's dangerous.
Right.
You can't shoot him on the way out. You can only shoot him on the way
right.
out.
So we had the Maaseh Shehoya like a month ago. Right. I showed it to the guys. There's a news video of a lady who was a single mother home with still a teenager. She was home with a young baby, right. And she called 911. She said, I have two guns.
Right,
and
right.
Is somebody trying to break into my house? Am I allowed to kill them?
Right.
So the 911 lady said, I'm not going to tell you what to do,
right.
But you do what you have to do to protect your baby. That's right. It. So Pashta says, I don't know. When I heard the story, I certainly am not in a position to judge what the reality of the situation was. I can't imagine they were really coming for the baby. You know, what are these two people breaking into some random person's home?
Well, it's not a matter of, you know, they're coming for that. It's a matter of you have the right to feel threatened, that you're
right.
physically hurt, you know, if they're coming in.
Right.
So in order to protect your person, you know, you're allowed to do it. In other words,
right.
protect property also. You're not allowed to kill.
Right, so that's the Shiloh. Right, so that's the Shiloh, meaning she stressed the idea, I am not letting these people get near my baby.
Right.
So like, whether or not that's how she felt, I can't say.
Right.
Oh, I'm not inside her head.
Right.
But in other words, she felt that her baby's life was threatened.
Right.
But the Pasha says she could have just walked out the back door and nothing would have happened to the baby. They let the criminals break in. They'll have their way in the house and nobody has to get killed.
Right.
But that's the Yisod. Ain't other mamet atzma mamono. That a person doesn't... So the way the Pashup shot in the Gemara is that a person just won't stand by and watch his money get stolen. But the way we wanted to explain from Rav Soloveitchik was that it's more than that. It's the right of a homeowner not to have to stand by. Meaning, most police will tell you, hide under the bed and pretend you're not there, while let the ganavim steal what they steal, and then they'll leave, and everybody will be safe, and your insurance company will reimburse you for whatever gets stolen. But the chiddush, perhaps, of the Gemara is that you're not mechuyev to do that. You're not mechuyev to say, no, I don't want to, you have the right, excuse me, to say, I don't want to be robbed, and I'm going to try to stop this person. Eventually it's going to lead to bloodshed, and you're going to have to kill the ganav in order to protect your property. That's not your problem. That's not your problem. You could have avoided the situation, but you're not mechuyev to. You have the right to stand up and stop your stuff from getting stolen. Is it going to end up costing the ganav his life? Yes. But that's not your fault. It's not on you that the ganav got killed. That's the way we wanted to explain it, at least according to Shitas Rashi. But what about the lesser case where, like you said, person is probably just coming to steal. So what are you allowed to do then? Let's say you have a shoplifter. He's taking things off the shelf, and you're a storekeeper, and you see the guy stealing. So the guy says basically to you, what are you going to do about it? And you say, well, I'm going to call the cops. So I say, okay, by the time the cops get here, I'll be long gone. So are you allowed to physically encounter the individual? Are you allowed to hit him? Are you allowed to kill him? Are you allowed to, you just have to, you know, take good pictures and hope you have good security cameras and hopefully the police will track him down and prosecute him? So what's the halacha in terms of that? So I wanted to discuss, it's really above a comma topic, but it's the lesser form of bav machteres known as the sugya of avid inish dina lenafshe. that a person, can a person take the law into his own hands? So it's a very lengthy back and forth in the Gemara. It starts on Chav Zayin Amid Beis in Bava Kamma. It goes for a blot or two in terms of the Maskanas HaSugya. But they started off in a very interesting way. It said, Sholach Le Rav Chizda Le Rav Nachman. So Rav Chizda sent a Shaila to Rav Nachman. Hare Amru, they used to say, Lirikuva Shalosh. Let's say a person kicks another person. So the way, there were different types of ways to kick somebody. So you could kick him with your knee, and that would be apparently, would hurt, obviously, and it would be semi-embarrassing. In addition to whatever damage was caused, if somebody kicks you with his knee, so you would have to pay a penalty of boshes. You'd have to pay, I don't know exactly the metzias of the society and the type of embarrassment that the person was suffering from, but apparently there was some busha involved. So you would pay a knas of 3 coins for kicking someone with your knee, and then lebi'ita chamesh, and if you kicked him with your actual foot, like a regular kick, so that you would have to pay a penalty of 5. Linaskores shloshesre, and if you actually hit the guy, you know, in a way that really is very embarrassing, so he says shloshesre, then you have to pay a tax, a knas of 13. So what's going on here that you have to pay this? So Rashi over here, I didn't give you the Rashi, but Rashi basically explains that each one of these has a greater form of boshes. Now this is milvad any possible actual nezikin that you cause. Generally speaking, when you mazik somebody, you pay 5 things: nezik, tsar, shevis, ripui, and boshes. So nezik and tsar, all the other ones basically are mamonis. They're money that you actually cost the guy. And you have to reimburse him for that. That's dna mominus, regular, you know, reimbursement. But there's also knas of boshes. Boshes, it didn't cost the person anything. The person's reputation or the person's social standing is not something which is really quantifiable as a loss. It's quantifiable as a knas, saying that a person, you know, the Gemara in the 8th parak in Bava Kamma discusses how we quantify these knasos of tsar. So they say, for example, tsar, if you would have a choice to perform an amputation, let's say you did something where you totally chopped off somebody's arm. So how much pain is he officially in, you know, in terms of a monetary number? So nowadays, I don't know, they'll sue for $10 billion, and you hope you'll get a million. So, but in those days, the way they cheshbon did, the Gemara says, is that if you were going to have an amputation, so you can have no anesthesia, or you can have anesthesia, right? I assume it wasn't general, it was local anesthesia. But they said, how much would a person be willing to pay to have his arm amputated with SAM, with this medicine that they would put on as a local anesthetic, or without SAM, just, bite the bullet and we're just going to cut the guy's arm off. So whatever you would be willing to pay for that procedure that it wouldn't hurt would be the quantified amount of pain that, you know, if let's say you say the guy says, it's not worth $1,000 for me, I'll just take the pain. So obviously $1,000 is not the right number that the guy should owe you for cutting off your arm. Now, I think, you know, most people would pay the thousands, not have to feel the excruciating pain of having your arm chopped off, but okay, you have to measure it out based on what would be the rate for such a procedure. If you'd be willing to pay for the anesthesiologist to deaden the pain. So also you can there's ways to quantify all these different types of things that the Gemara cheshbened out. So boshes, in this case, the standard tax for these types of hitting was either 3, 5, or 13. And it says, Lepanda demara vilakufina demara mai. So he says, what if somebody took off the reins of, I think it means like he took the reins off of the donkey, the way they used to pull the donkey with these metal reins, and he whacked somebody else over the head with it in a way that's apparently very painful, and it's also very embarrassing. So the guy has to walk around, I guess, with his head all bandaged up or with a, you know, black eyes, or whatever it is. So how much should we charge for something, somebody who hits like that? So Sholach Le, Rav Nachman sent back to Rav Chizda, 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 Knosso Kamagvis B'Bavel. Are you collecting Knossos in Bavel? You can't collect Knossos in Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, Mamela, they still, they had Smicha, and they were continuing on the tradition of collecting Knossos. right? The halacha is, as we learn in the first parak in Sanhedrin, that you need smicha to collect knas. You don't need smicha to collect what they call the basic dini mamonis. But any type of knas, you would have to have real smicha in order to collect, and they only did it in Eretz Yisrael, where the smicha was still alive. But it's interesting, Rav Nachman was known as this great baki in dini mamonis, but still he says, what do you do? We can't collect knasos in Bavel. So it says, Eima li gufa de uvda hechi hava. Tell me exactly what happened. What was the story? So Sholach le, hahu gargusa de betre. There was a certain certain well that was owned by two partners. The chol yoma have dalim chad mine. Every single day, one of the two partners, it was his turn to take the water out of it. Asa chad kadali biyoma delo delay. One guy came and he started taking the water when it was not his day. So let's just say Reuven and Shimon. Shimon had Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Reuven had Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and Shimon had Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So Shimon shows up on Sunday and he starts taking all the water. And Reuven says, get out of here, it's not your day. And Shimon says, you're wrong, I get this day, leave me alone. So what happens? So Amar Le, Yom Adidius, so Reuven says, it's my day. So Lo Ashgach Be, Shimon ignores him. Shokal Pandanamari and Machie. He took the reins off his donkey, and I guess the donkey was there to carry the water. And he takes the reins off the donkey and he whacks him over the head with it. So that was exactly how it happened. So Amar Le, so Rav Nachman answered back, Mea pande bepandela machi. Let him hit him 100 times with the reins. Meaning, forget about making Reuven pay. He did the right thing. He should have hit him more. Says, why? Afil amandamar lo avid inish dina lanashe. Even according to the mandamar, says, you shouldn't take the law into your own hands. Bimakam pseida avid inish dina lanashe. If he's going to sustain a financial loss, that's not necessarily something that he can make up, so then he has the right to take the law into his own hands. The Itmar, as we learned, Rav Yehuda Amar lo Avin Ishti Nilanafshe, and Rav Nachman Amar Avin Ishti Nilanafshe. So Rav Nachman himself says you are allowed to take the law into your own hands, but Rav Yehuda disagrees and says you may not. But Hecha de Ikab Seda Kulei Alma lo Plige. The oven in Ishnil and Ashe. Keep Ligecha the lake up Seder. Have you done a low oven in Ishnil and Ashe? Have a cave on the lake up Seder. Lazel Kame Diana. So basically, what are we saying? If there is no loss that's going to be incurred by waiting for the judiciary process to take effect, then that's where the machlokis is. And Rabbi Huda says, listen, the cave and the lake up Seder, you're not going to lose anything by going to Beis Din. Lazel Kame Diana. Go in front of the judges. Rav Nachman Amar, Ovid in Ishdil and Avshe, the cave and the Bedin Ovid lo Tarach. Since what he is doing is correct, he's doing the right thing, why should he have to bother schlepping to court? So this is the machlokis. But in the case of the water, where basically the way Rashi explains it is, there's not going to be a way to know exactly what Shimon was taking from Reuven. Every single day, based on the amount of rainfall and evaporation and tides, I don't know what, there was a certain amount of water in the thing, and Reuven was entitled to that water, and Shimon took it. So there was no line drawn in the well, he took X amount of gallons of water from me. I won't really know. So he's mainly going to lose out on something by taking him to court, meaning the court will probably reimburse him for the maximum amount that we know for a fact he lost out on. But there's still going to be some loss because the Beis Din is not going to award him any extra money, misafik, all those sveikas are a motzi mechaver olav araya. So they're not going to be able to reimburse him exactly for the money that he lost, and therefore, it's a hecha de'ikab seida. There's going to be a financial loss sustained if he lets Shimon take the water and then schleps him to court. He's still going to lose some money. So therefore, says Rav Nachman, even though Rabbi Huda disagrees with me and says, you should go to court, but in this case, Rabbi Huda would agree with me and say, you don't have to go to court because you're going to lose money. So it's very interesting. So right now, we see that everyone agrees where you're bound to lose money, then you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. And Rav Nachman says further, even when you're going to get a similar or the same result by going to court, you don't have to wait. If you know you're right, and it's 100% clear that this is correct, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. And Rav Nachman already advocated using violence to take the law into your own hands. He said the guy whacked him in the head with some type of a metal leather contraption, which is, I assume, extremely painful. And yet, Rav Nachman says, hey, should have hit him 100 times. Till he should have hit him until he stopped doing it. What business does Shimon have suing Reuven? Just the opposite. Reuven was doing the right thing. So this is the machlokus we have. So the Gemara goes on with a lot of different cases to try to prove who is right. Just a couple of the cases are relevant for us, what I want to see tonight. So I want to go through a couple of interesting points here. So first case is Masir Rav Kana. Rav Kana has the following kasha. Ben Bagbag Omer, Al tikanes lechotzer chavercha lito lashulcha shelo b'shus. You should not sneak into somebody's house to steal back that which is yours without permission. Meaning, let's say you know somebody has something and it's really yours and he's claiming it's his or he's not acknowledging that he even has it. You want to go take it back. So Ben Bagbag's advice is do not sneak in like a burglar to take back what's yours. Why not? For that exact reason, Shematira Lov Kiganef. You're going to appear to be a ganef. So you should not, if you're in the right, you should not do things in a shady way that makes you look like you're in the wrong. Ella, what should you do? So he says an interesting lashon. We find it by a little bit similar to the Haggadah. We talk about the Ben Harasha. He says, what should you do? So he says, rather, Shvor Eshinov, break his teeth, ve'emor lo shili ani notel. And you should say to him, I'm taking back what's mine. So he says, basically, I don't know if it means literally punch him in the mouth, but it means you should stand up to him, take him on publicly, and make it clear that you're taking back what's yours and he can't stop you. But if you sneak into his house and make yourself look bad, he's going to call the police, and then you're going to have to explain to the police that you're really stealing back what's yours. It's not going to go well, right? That's actually reminiscent of the famous case of the Nascha de Rabbi Abba. It's one of the more interesting sugyas that come up in a few different places in Shas. Mostly, either I did it a couple of years ago in Shir when we were learning Shavuos. But it comes up in Bava Basra. Also, the case of Nascha de Rabbi Abba, where the guy steals something, and Edim come to court, or one aide comes to court and says, I saw this guy stealing from, I saw Reuven stealing from Shimon's house. So the guy says, In chatfi v'didi chatfi. Yes, I did steal it, but I was only taking back what's mine. So then you're a little bit stuck, because there in that case, the Gemara says, well, what's he going to do? The Eid Echad can't make him pay. What can the Eid Echad make him do? He can swear. But what does he have to swear? I mean, the Eid Echad is not testifying as to who the owner of the Anascha is, some type of a silver bar. So he says, the Eid Echad can't say whom the Anascha belonged to. He can only say what he saw. I saw Reuven go into Shimon's house and take away a Anascha from him. So now, what would be the shvua that's required of Reuven? Well, he can't. But that's not what he's chayef to swear, meaning that shvua won't mean anything. He's claiming it's his, Shimon's claiming it's his. But the problem is, the real shvua that Reuven would have to take is, I did not go into Shimon's house and steal from him. Meaning that the shvua that you take against an Eid Echad that works is to contradict the Eidus of the Eid Echad. But he can't contradict the Eid Echad's Eidus because he admits it's true. So really, that's a case where we say, Mitoch Sheni Yochel Lishav HaMishalim, he has to pay it back, he has to give it back until he can prove that it's actually his, because he can't be Soser the Eid Echad. So he loses. So that's you know, the similar case to what Ben Bagbag is talking about. He says, don't get involved in this. What, the Edom are going to come to Beis and they're going to say, we saw you robbing his house at night. And then you're going to have to say, yeah, in chatfi, didi chatfi, I took back what was mine. So you're going to look terrible. You're just going to have to pay it back anyway. It's not going to look good for you. Rather, stand up to him publicly and say, I'm taking back what's mine. You can't steal from me. I'm going in there and I'm taking it. And if you try to stop me, I'm going to break your teeth. So that's Ben Bagbag's advice. Happens to be, the Gemara says, so what is this a raya? It's a raya that clearly, Ovid Nishti Nilanavshe, not only do you have to, is it permissible, you should be proud of it. You shouldn't, don't hide behind the cover of night. So it's a raya that we pass like Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, not so fast. The Gemara has two answers. I only gave you one of them because the other one gets slugged up. But the Gemara answers, Elmar Lay, going over to Chav Chesam and Aleph, Imcha, is that really true? You're really right. Ben Bagbag Yechidahu Pligi Rabbanan Aleh. Ben Bagbag is a Das Yachid, and the Rabbanan argue on him. All right, then there's a second teretz, which doesn't hold up. So basically, you brought a raya from a Das Yachid. Everyone else disagrees. Interesting question. What do they disagree with him about? Ben Bagbag says you're supposed to go do it publicly. What do the Rabbanan say? You're not allowed to do it at all? Or do they say you're supposed to do it privately better than publicly? So it's a good question. We don't know. But it's interesting, the Minchas Chinuch points out that if you look in all of Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote this din. And Sefer HaChinuch, he's talking about Sefer HaChinuch, doesn't quote this din either, but he says Hu HaDin, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch don't quote this din. So I thought it's Pashit that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are assuming that when the Gemara says Ben Bagbag Zadas Yachid, they're not talking about Ovid and Ishtinul and Afshe, because the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin in the end that you should take the law into your own hands if you want, and they just leave out the line of Ben Bagbag. Why? Because the Gemara was saying that he's a Das Yachid in this. Not that he's a Das Yachid that he paskins Ovid and Ishtinul and Afshe. He's a Das Yachid that he says that you really should take him on and publicly and beat him over the head. Rather, maybe the Rabbanim would disagree and say it's equally good, depending on your personal style, right? The, you know, still celebrating the Giants, if you read the local Jewish newspapers. So you know, you have Ahmad Bradshaw, and you have, what's 27? Jacobs, and you have Brandon Jacobs, right? So you have two styles. Some guys are big and burly, and they run up the middle, and some guys, they like to dance, and they go around the outside. So if you're a power guy, so break his teeth. If you're a stealth guy, so sneak in and get it. Lav dafka that the Gemara is saying, we don't agree with Ben Bagbag that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands and steal it back. We just mean we don't have a preferable method of taking it back. If you like to sneak around, so sneak around. If you like to take it straight up, so take it straight up. Now there's an interesting comment there. Reb Chaim Brisker has quoted, I saw it quoted in some of these Hanhagas Svarim. Actually, I saw it quoted in there's a Seder Ha'aruch. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's a three-volume work on the Leil HaSeder called Seder Ha'aruch. So the first volume is mostly Halacha and a little bit of Lumdus. So he quotes there that Reb Chaim was against the minug of stealing the Afikomen. He says, because you're fostering bad midos, you're teaching to steal. So he says, what? He's teaching to steal. What are you talking about? He says, it's all for a good cause. It's Kadesh Yishalot Tinokas, everyone will stay awake, whatever. So he brought a raya from the Gemara in Bava Metzia where it says that if, let's say you have a friend and you know that he's hit upon very hard times, but he's a proud man, he's not going to take tzedakah. So you have a great plan. Your plan is steal from him, get caught, and you'll owe him kefil. So you're going to steal everything he owns. Not that much anymore, but let's say he's still got a few things totaling $10,000. So you're going to steal $10,000 worth of merchandise from him, make sure you get caught, you're going to be taken to Beis Din, and now you're going to owe him $20,000. So great, you're able to give him $10,000 worth of tzedakah. So probably he hates you now, but at least he's going to get what he needs. So the Gemara says, Mikol Malkum, that's asur to do. You're not allowed to steal even for a good cause. So Reb Chaim said, that's his raya, that like, so he's teaching the kids to steal the afikomen for a good cause? He says, we don't steal for a good cause. Okay, whether or not that's halacha l'maisa. What's that? Right.
Kneva is focused on the loss it causes somebody else. Kneva is focused on the maisa.
Right. So
he's not causing the loss, right? You're making money for him.
Right.
He steals also because it's the maisa
kneva. Right. So that's, I don't know. I don't know exactly... how the Brisker Sdorim went, but that's just reminded me of this when we say that we don't paskin like Ben Bagbag. It's interesting that it seems, if you say, like I'm saying now, that really the Rabbanan disagree, and they say you can sneak around and steal, so it's curious how it works out with this idea that we don't want to go around fostering bad midos in people and having them become break-in artists just to do... Right, it's not stealing, but it's the art of the thievery, meaning... Stealing.
Well, you're winning competition, that's all.
Right, okay, maybe, yeah. just feel like once you taste the geschmack of you know the burglary, and you see how you can sneak around other people's houses and get in there and pocket something, feel like you're headed down a slippery slope. You know, I don't know. I never tried it, but okay. So that's Ben Bogbach's case. The Gemara now, skipping a little bit in the Gemara, the Gemara has one more case I wanted to see, which is right after the three dots over there. So Tashma, Shor she'ala al gabe chaver lehorgo. Let's say you were walking down the street with your ox, and another ox comes and jumps on top of your ox and is trying to weigh it down and kill it. So ubo balatachton, so you come along, the shamat es shelo, you grab your shor and you're somehow able to pull it out from underneath the other shor, right? And then the other shor, v'nafal elyon v'meis, the other shor falls down and slams against the ground and dies. So you essentially were responsible for killing the upper shor, the other person's shor, but it was to save your own animal. So putter. In that case, you're putter. So then the Gemara asks, my lab ben mu'ad de lake upseida, lo betam de ikupseida. All right, that's basically you could say that if it was a case of ikupseida, it's not a raya either way. But ihachi, if so, ema seifa, dochfo le elyon v'meis, chayiv. But let's say the other possibility, you didn't go for your shor. I'm always amazed by the chiddush that the civil rights movement came up with when it came to things like this. Yeah, the civil rights movement, let's say in those days you had a protest and then the police started beating on the guy who was protesting. So they learned very quickly that if you try to go after the cop and stop him from hurting your friend, the second you put your hands on a police officer, the other cops would shoot you. So they came, they said, okay, it's not a good idea. So they said, instead, don't go for the cop who's doing the beating. You cover your man, and you take the beating for him. So I thought that was a very Jewish concept, that to take the beating for somebody else is a very, very chash of a thing. So here also, you could have done one of two things. You can attack the upper shore and push it off, or you can just try to save your shore. And whatever happens to the upper shore happens. So if you pushed off the top and it falls and dies, so then you're considered to be chayiv. And the Gemara asks, "Ibetama my chayiv." So why would you be chayiv? That's a side point for us. So shehayelo l'shamto v'lo shamto, because really you should have done the better thing. The better thing was you should have pulled your shore out from underneath. You didn't attack the upper shore. You're just trying to save your own stuff. But in this case, When you push the one off the top, you're attacking the one on the top. So Mela, we say you're chayev for that. So okay, we'll come back to this yisod a little later. Okay, so this is a little bit of background in the Gemara of Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe. And if you look in source number 2 in the Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Choshen Mishpat, we in fact paskin like Rav Nachman. Shulchan Aruch says Yachol Adam Lasos Din LaAtzmo. Person's allowed to take the law into his own hands. If he sees his item in the hands of someone else who stole from him, he's allowed to grab it away from him. And if the other guy tries to hold back, you're even allowed to hit him until he surrenders, until he gives it up. If you couldn't have saved it any other way, he quotes there from the tour. There's no other way to do it. We'll see that tour shortly. Afilu hu davar she'ein bo hefsid, even in case where he's not going to lose money, im yamtin ad she'yami den abedin. Meaning, let's say the guy's a shoplifter and he's stealing from your store, and you have good security cameras, and if you call the police, so the police won't be there in time to actually stop the guy, but they'll catch who it is, and they'll know where to find him, and you know, or even if you know who it is, and you know you can send them straight to his house, and all of your money will be recovered. Nevertheless, you have the right to pull out, you know, some type of a weapon, and to hurt the guy until he stops stealing from you. V'hu sheyucha levar sheshelo notel b'din, meaning it's only in a case where if he was to come to court now, he would win for sure. He has to be able to prove that it's actually his. Mikol makom ein lo rishus l'mashkana b'chovo. This is a separate yisod where basically if somebody owes you money and he didn't give you a mashkon and you're nervous he's not going to pay you back, you have no right to steal something from him to have that something serve as a mashkon. You can't say, well, you owe me $1 million and you have this super fancy sports car, so I'm going to steal the car until you pay up the million, and then I'll give you back the car. That's completely usur. You're not allowed to do that. Okay, so this is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, like Rav Nachman, that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, even if it means leading to violence against the other guy, even if you could have accomplished the same exact thing had you gone to court. Okay. So there's another sugya later in Maseches Bava Kamma, on Daf Mem Ches Lamed Aleph, where they talk about trespassing. So this really, it didn't come up from this, it came up from if somebody comes into your Rishus and you're accidentally mazik him, or you're purposely mazik him, or he's mazik you in your Rishus. So as an aside, they got into this other case. V'amar Rava, source number 3, Nichnas L'chatzer Balabaya Shelo Rishus, person who trespasses into his friend's property, the hizik is balabayis, or balabayis huzak bo, right? And he does some damage, chayev, he's obviously chayev. Hiziko balabayis potter, if the balabayis damages him accidentally, he's potter. Amar of papalo, amar al dlo havi yadabe, aval yadabe, hiziko balabayis chayev. Obviously, if you knew he was there and you purposely damaged him, you're chayev. So what's the reason? My taima, mishum da amar lei, because he says to the trespasser can say to the Baal HaBayis, Nihi de islach reshusa lafuki, laazuke, leislach reshusa. So, okay, I understand you have reshus to kick me out, but you don't have reshus to hurt me. So if I come into your house and you say, I'm going to hurt you, you know, because you're trespassing, that's not allowed. You have to pay me the money that you owe me for the nezik. Because if you want to kick me out, say get out. So then the question is, what is this Gemara saying? It's saying, If you kick the guy out and he doesn't want to leave, you're not allowed to hit him? So wouldn't we have said before, Avin Inishdin al Anafshe, if a guy's taking from you, if a guy's trespassing on your property, so take one of those reins off the donkey and start whacking him in the head until he leaves. The guy's going to say back, oh, you only have rishus to kick me out, you don't have rishus to hit me. So I would have thought that the pashup shot is, this shita of Rava is a little bit different than Rav Nachman. Rava is saying, you have rishus to kick the guy off your property, but not ad kidei kach, that it's going to lead to violence and you're going to be mazik him. So you see that Rava disagrees with Rav Nachman. And he argues, lo avin inish dina l'nafshe. Meaning this is a case, hey, the lake of Seda. The guy's not costing you any money by standing on your property. He wants to, I don't know, he brings his own lounge chair, he wants to take a suntan. He lives on, you know, the dark side of the street. When I grew up, my parents' house was on the dark side of the street, so the shoveling was always harder. We always looked over at the other side of the street when it was snowing, and you'd shovel a little bit, but the sunlight would help you so much. We were always bemoaning the fact that we had ice and stuff. It wouldn't melt on our side of the street. So he lives, and now, Baruch Hashem, I live on the light side of the street, so it's a little easier. So this guy lives on the dark side of the street, and he wants to come to your backyard on the light side of the street and get a better suntan. He said, what do you want from me? I brought my own lounge chair. I'm not going to cause any wear and tear on your lounge chair. I'm not going to go on the grass. I'll stay on the patio. None of your... So what? I'm taking up so much space. I'm wasting your oxygen. It's a mamish makom de lake upseda. He's not costing you a cent. He's just trespassing. So he says, you want to kick me off? Kick me off, but don't touch me. So the guy says, well, I'm not leaving, so you can't... Call the cops. I don't know. So then you pick him up and you chuck him over the fence and he lands and he hurts himself. So now he wants to sue you for the money. He says, you didn't have the right to do that. So it sounds like Rava holds, you know, even if there's no pseida against Rav Nachman, you can't take the law into your own hands and start hitting the guy. But the problem is the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to think that that's true. And the Rambam also.
I mean, that's a totally different case. And one is no pseida because you're going to go to Bezin will award you back the money.
Right.
Here, what are you going to do? You go to Benson, you know, 3 weeks later?
You call the cops today. Call the cops today, so they'll come in 3 hours, they'll come in 2 hours, and they'll say, they'll kick the guy out.
But the idea was, in other words, you don't want to go and take it because Benson's sort of going to give you back your money later.
Right.
You know what I mean? Here, you're not losing any money. You're not, it's a different type of...
Well, he's infringing on my property rights, and if I call the cops, they're not going to be here for another hour or so.
Right.
So I want him out now. I want him.
There's no tangible loss.
Right, but that's Hecha de Lake of Seder. Rav Nachman says there's not going to be any loss whatsoever.
There is basically, you could have the loss for 2 weeks until you have the bezdin, or you could go and you could take it now. Here it's a case where there's never any loss. There's never anything that's going out of your possession. You're not defending any piece of.
Okay, I mean, it happens to be for whatever reason. I don't think the poskim assume not getting the money immediately counts as a loss. As long as you're going to get the same amount of money later, it's not considered like you lost it today. So in other words, if you know for a fact that this guy stole something from me, I have irrefutable evidence that I will win and I'll get the item back in exactly the same condition that I had before, or it's money and I'll definitely get every penny back. So then, even though it's going to take longer, Rav Yehuda would still say you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands just because you won't have it for a week. Meaning, so then it is a fairly similar case in the sense that, of course, he's not taking anything away from you, but still you're not allowed to hit him in the sense that, like, since he's not costing you any money, and you're allowed to kick him off the property, but you're not allowed to hit him to make him leave the property. So it is fairly similar in that way. Now, obviously, there are some differences, but it's enough that it at least raises the suspicion, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins kind of like this case. If you look in source number 4, it says, "B'chol makom shechova b'chaver b'kavona chayev behei dvarim, afilu nichnas chaver l'rshus or shelo b'rshus." Even if the guy comes into your rishus without permission, and you hit him and you kicked him out, chayev, you're chayev. Dinahidi yesh lo rishus lahotzio, ein lo rishus lachbol bo. Even, and this is exactly quoted from Mishitas Rava. So now the Mechaber does quote an additional opinion, which is the opinion of the Torah in source number 5. Avalim hu misarev bo ve'ein lo rotze lotzeis. So he quotes the shita of a yesh omrim, and if you look at number 5, the Tur says it without a yesh omrim, because it's him. So the Tur writes, right, so the Torah is saying, right. Oh no, I'm sorry. The Torah does quote it in the name of the Yesh Omrim. He does. The Torah Chayev de Nehila. 1 second. Avalim Masarev Bo Ve'Ena Rotzalot says Yesh Lo Rishus. Sorry, not Yesh Omrim. Yesh Lo Rishus. Afil Lachbo Lotzio. He has Rishus to hit him and get him out of there. So the Torah paskins a very simple chilik, nothing at all fancy between the two Gemaras. He says, they both agree. Rav Nachman and Rava do agree. You're allowed to take the law into your own hands. You're even allowed to hit the guy to take the law into your own hands. What's the difference? The difference is, in Rava's case, the guy would have left if you had just yelled at him. If you raise enough thing, you say, you take out your phone and you say, I'm going to call the cops right now. Look, 911, you don't want me to press send, otherwise it's going to be bad for you. So finally, he's like, all right, he picks himself up and he goes. But in the case of the tour where he says, it's not Rav's case, he says, if the guy's refusing, it says, yeah, go ahead, call the cops. By the time they get here, I'll be long gone anyway, and I'll stay for another half hour, and you can't make me leave. So then you're allowed to hit the guy and make him leave. So really, according to the tour, it's not a shaila at all. And if you say the Mechaber holds like that Yesh Omrim, so then it's not a problem at all either. The problem is, if you don't go by the Yesh Omrim, if you go by the Pashup Shad and the Mechaber without the Yesh Omrim, so then it's a steer in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch definitely paskins of an inish dina lenafshe, and even though he's allowed to hit and he's allowed to hurt and whatever, but he doesn't say that you can kick the guy out by hurting him. So there's a few different mahalchim besides the tour. The most famous maybe is the Nesivus. He starts off, I don't have that part here on the sheet, but he starts off by quoting the Mishnah Lamelech has a similar vort. The Nesivus Hamishpat in Siman Dalid has the following idea. It says, "Lachein nira didasa ramva shulchan aruch lahachriya lechalik bein karkel metaltalin." So he says, There's a difference between when a guy trespasses on your land versus a guy takes your stuff. So this is maybe what along the lines of what we were going to say, but maybe a little bit different. He says, the metaltlin ika chashash pseida. Whenever we're dealing with metaltlin, let's say the guy stole my wife's diamond ring, and I'm going to take him to court, but who knows what's going to happen to it between now and then? There's always a chashash pseida when it comes to metaltlin. The guy steals a whole bunch of money from me, and I'm going to take him to court to get the money back. Maybe he's going to go have a crazy night in Las Vegas and blow all the money, and he's not going to be able to pay me back. So what, they're going to sell him to me as an eved ivri? This, you know, they want him to learn all the halachas from this week's parsha. Like, it's not. I don't want an eved ivri. I want my money. You know, so it doesn't fly for me. There's a chashash that I'm going to lose out. Afilu lecharchila mutar lakosa. So under those circumstances, you're allowed to hit him even lecharchila. What's going to happen to me? He's going to ruin my backyard. Saying he's just sitting there. So there's nothing that possibly could go wrong if I just wait for the cops. So then it's also lecharchila. And he quotes the Gemara we saw, that there's a chilik between when there is pseida, when there's no pseida. And he gives the example, kigon b'hai gargusa to ka'amar hasam de lo nisha l'chaveru mayim lidlo, it's not going to be any water left. V'ike hefsed barur v'yelo hezek b'sadeyu. This is going to cause major problems. V'ha bezdin lo yigvu lo hezeko al pidin. The bezdin is not going to be able to give him back what he lost. Ki rak gorim depot. He doesn't explain it the way I explained it before. Basically what he's saying is, Reuven is saying, I need the water now. I need you to get off of the well, to get away from the well, because I need to get the water so I can water my field. If I don't water my field today, then all my crops are going to die. So Shimon says, no dice, I'm not leaving, and he decides he's going to take all the water for himself. So now I'm going to go to court. In the meantime, when I'm in court, what am I going to be suing him for? I'm going to be suing him for the water and all the damage that happened when my crops died. So the Bezin can say, even if we know exactly how much water is in there, we still can't tell. We can't pay you back for the crops, because that's grama b'nezikin. We can't. In other words, the fact that he took away your water that you thought you had coming to you, and memela, because of that, your crops died. He wasn't mazik your crops. He was mazik. He stole your water. But the crops is only grama ba'alma. So maybe you could argue that min hashamayim mide shamayim he's chayav to pay you back. But in the courts of man, he's not chayav to pay you back for that. That's called gruvah b'nezikin. So the standard case is let's say the guy's in the New York Stock Exchange, and you know he's going to make a big purchase on let's say it was a week ago, he's going to purchase $100,000 worth of Apple stock. He heard some good things. He knows it's going to go up, so he's very excited. So then you decide you don't want him buying it up for whatever reason, so you lock the bathroom door before he comes out of it, and he can't get out onto the floor, he can't make his trades, and you get all the stocks for yourself. So now he's going to sue you for all the losses all the gains that he could have made, or on the flip side, if he was going to sell and it goes down, saying all the losses he incurred, so you can't be held liable for that, because that's only grama b'nezikin. That's not nezikin mamish. You didn't take his stock and somehow devalue it. You just caused him to lose money. You caused him not to make money. So too here. You stole his water. The melee couldn't water the field, and then the crops died. But that's not you. It wasn't you being mazik his crops. So he says, so you know you're going to lose a lot of money if you go to court. So Mamela, you can't get that money back. So that's Hecha de Ika Pseida. So everyone agrees there that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. So this is V'oz Mut Oz Vade Mutter Lasos Api Atzmo Hakod Vade Ye Nizik Velo Yushlam Lo Hezik Ayde Bezdin. So what's the svara behind that? Because he's definitely going to lose and he's not going to get paid back. Ava Shalom Makom Hefsid Barur, but if it's not clear, you're going to lose. Ava Mikol Makom Ika Chashash Hefsid, but you think you might lose. Kigon Shetofes Mimeno Metaltlin the Gzela. After Abezin Yigvu Mimeno, the Bezin is going to take back what he stole from you. Ach Mikol Makom Ika Chashash Hefsid the Emar Yavrichem. He's going to send them to his offshore accounts, right? I don't know. They didn't get back. What percentage of what Bernie Madoff took did they actually recover? Probably a very small percentage. Saying because I don't even know if the money was around to be collected, but even so, everybody has offshore accounts in different places where they can hide money. So how does, even if the Beis Din seizes every asset that the Ganav took from you, but who knows what's actually going to be around? Either you might have sent it away, or you might have broken it. So Baha Pligi Bava Kamasham, that's the machlokes from Nachum Rabbi Huda. The Kaimalan da filu b'chayi gavna of an inish dinil anashe. And we paskin that that's when you can take the law into your own hands. But if you're definitely going to win in court, and there's no chashash whatsoever that's going to go your way, specifically like we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, where the guy's just trespassing, says, Daha bevadei lo yekulkulu beiso kishiyamot sham ktsas shah. And it just stays there for a little while till you can take him to court. In this case, I think he means to call the cops. And Beis Din will send the police to get him out of there. Okay, so you see that the chilek is very, very simple, basically, that even Rav Nachman, who holds you can hit the guy to take the law into your own hands and save your money, is only when... it's only when there's either going to be an actual loss, then everyone agrees, or there's going to be the possibility of a loss. But if there's no possibility of a loss, you know you're going to get back every penny, then you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands. Then you have to actually go through the court system. And he, in the first part of the Nesivos, he basically pointed out, he said, how could it be that you're allowed to just hit the guy as your first measure of defense? He says, even Beis Din, let's say Beis Din sees that you're a thief and you stole. So the first thing they'll do is they'll put out a psak that you're chayev to pay. And then they'll give you X amount of time to pay. And then you don't pay. So then they'll try to put a lien on your property and try to get it from there. And let's say you don't have any property. So then they'll put a nidui on you. They'll curse you. They'll put you in cherem, whatever it is. And then if all that doesn't work and you don't care about anything, then they'll start beating you until you pay up. So he says, so you are going to circumvent the entire process and just go straight to the beating? So he doesn't think that's not, even Rav Nachman wouldn't agree that that's a good idea. Of course, it's always better to go through the due process. He says, but in the end of the day, if due process isn't going to work for you exactly, or you're afraid it's not going to work, then you have the right to circumvent the due process and go straight to the conclusion of getting your money back by whatever means you deem necessary. So that's the way the Nesivos wants to explain the Shulchan Aruch.
Would it be any difference in terms of the case that they have here is guys in your chatzah? Would it be any difference between chatzah or if he's actually in your baseline?
Yeah, I mean, then already
there's a... watch the giant game. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, not just that he's going to steal or something like that. You know what I mean? But he's actually in your house.
He's in your... No, I think the chatzar in those days meant the house. Yeah. Meaning, that's the famous Rashi at the beginning of Bava Basra where they talk about Hezek Re'iyah. They say, Rov Tashmisho B'chatzar. The majority... The chatzar in those days was basically the living room and the den. And really, all you ever did in your inside part of your house was eat and sleep. There was very little indoor activity going on. It was, Iraq. It was an outdoor climate, I think. And most of the chatzeros had roofs on them. The Rishonim talk about a chatzar she'ena makura. If you have a chatzar without a roof, mashma that the average chatzar had a roof. So it was most of the tashmish was outside. Mm-hmm. Most of the average daily activity. Okay, so there's a very interesting machlokas Rishonim within the idea of avin inish dinil nafshe. The Rush. This is not in the same Gemara in Bava Kama. That Gemara is the beginning of the third parak. This is the Rush at the very end of the first parak, in parak Aleph Simen Chof. The end of the first parak in Bava Kama, the Rush quotes the Rama Levi Zal, Kosav Choda Amrinon Itofes Lo Mafkina Minei Hainu Davka Kishir Nizke O Butzer Minizke. So he says that we have a rule, itaf islam afkina, meaning in certain cases when you have a suffix, you don't know who's right. And it's a case of hamotzi mechaverel of a raya. We think maybe Reuven should get the money, but Shimon's the one who has the money now. We're not going to take it away from him without a real proof. But then we say, if Reuven would just go grab it from Shimon, then we wouldn't force Reuven to pay it back, because it's pretty much a stalemate, so whoever's holding the money wins. So what does that mean? So he says, that's like... a case where he took back the regular amount of that was owed to him, or less than the regular amount. Aval tfei minizke, but if he takes back more than was actually cost of him, kigon, tashlumi kefel or dalid vehei, let's say you were a ganav, and Reuven takes you to court as a ganav, and he says, you stole $1,000 from me, and you can't prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. So now Shimon wins. We know Shimon stole it, and Reuven certainly knows Shimon stole it. He saw it himself or whatever. He knows it's true. Beis Din can't really act on it. So now Reuven goes and steals it back from Shimon. But he says, he stole $1,000 from me. If I would have won, I would have gotten $2,000. So he steals $2,000 from Shimon. So the Rush quotes from the Rama Levi, no, that's not okay. He says, you're stealing back Kefel? You're not allowed to do that. Itafis mafkinan minei. If he takes it away, we make him give it back. Delo ashkechan de amur rabbanan gabe nizikin di tafis lo mafkinan minei elok b'man de lo tafis tfei minizke. Because we never find this case by when you take more. It's only when you take less or the same amount. Right? And it goes on, chatzi nezik or whatever. No, we make him give back the extra. So that's, he's skipping a little bit. He says basically, Avalar vuche midi mamona dachrini, midei mamona lachrini, lo takinole. They're abundant never. So now the Rush, and it's like the third to last line in the sheet. It says, lo nearly, says, I don't think it's true. Delav takanta huki. This is not a takanas chachamim that you can say, well, the chachamim were never misaking that he could take back more. It's not a takana. Eladinahu. Dimidaraisa mechayevle ela she'ein lo dayan bibavel she yechufenu litein lo. So he says, really, the guy does owe him the kefil. He owes him the kefil. But in Bavel, we don't have any dayanim who can collect kefil because we're not allowed to take knossos in Bavel, like we started with the beginning of the Gemara, where he said, chizda, chizda, you're taking Bavel, you're taking knossos in Bavel? Right? It doesn't, you're not allowed to do that. So he says, really, the guy owes him kefil. He's not allowed to take it, so what are you going to do? He says, but min haTorah, he's doing the right thing. So he says, chol ki aygavna, ovid inish dina l'nafshe, v'lo mafkina minei, adi yoiv kol demuchiv le'midaraisa. So he says, really, if Reuven takes it away from Shimon, and he's actually right, so then we say, ovid inish dina l'nafshe. He's doing the right thing, min haTorah, he's taking back what's his, and he's taking the knas that's his, and the dayanim wouldn't make him give back the knas. Yeah.
The knas doesn't belong to him. The knas is a fine that Beis Din imposes upon the dayanim that happens to go with him. It's not his money.
Right. So that's basically along the lines of what the Bach is asking. I'm not going to read the Bach inside just because in the interest of time. When you take a look in the Bach, he asked this kasha on the Rush. The Rush is talking about a certain case of Tufus where the Rush says, we do take it away from him, and then he says, isn't that a little bit of a stira in the Rush? So he says, I don't understand. He says, in general, the rule is even more so. It's not just that it's a penalty Beis Din imposes. He says that it doesn't even exist until the psak. Kefil is a knas that is keilu brought into existence by the psak Beis Din that you owe it. That's why we say mode of a knas is potter. If you go to Beis Din and you admit to owe it, that you stole before the edim come and testify against you, so that's already a machlokus. But let's say the Edom never come. Right? So the Edom never come, and you are molded to the knas, so you have to give back the money you stole, but you don't have to give the kefil, because the Beis Din never imposed the penalty upon you. So that's the Bach has this kash against the Rush.
Well, maybe the law is like this. When you say the Avedin is general option, is it that he is limited, that he has the right to give back what's his, and that's it? Or no, is he acting in place of the court?
Right, exactly. Right, so the standard teretz that the Achronim give to this Rush is they say, what? That's the whole big chakira in Ovid and Ishnilanashe. Is it that it's just a din of tfisa, that you're taking back what's yours, finished? Or is it no, like the Gemara has such a lush, Nase Yado Kishliach Beis Din. His yad is like the yad of Beis Din. He is ki'ilu, in this case, a member of Beis Din, and he is enacting an act of the court just in the private sector. So this is, and if you look in, there's a nice sefer, Mishnas Yaivitz, where Bitzal Jolti, I mean, he has a lot of rayas for the, that this is what the rush means, that it's a real act of the courts, and therefore you're allowed to take it back, but Torah's being a member of a Beis Din. The only thing that bothers me based on this whole yesod and the rush, that the rush holds when you're doing oven and dealing option, you're mamish a dayan, is that even real dayanim can't do it anymore. Even a mumche doesn't exist because they don't have the real smicha. But like you could be literally the gadol hador in psak halacha, you don't have the right to collect the knas. So what comes out of this is something very, very interesting. And I'm saying this idea not knowing fully if it holds up, but I think it works in the rush. Just a question of the reality of the situation. I have to do more research to see if this is true. What's the whole yesod behind a Beis Din that has real smicha is it that they can create a certain chalos by the power vested in them, ish mi pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, or is it just that when we go to a Beis Din of smuchim, so we're basically saying, listen, nobody really knows what happened. Reuven Tain is one thing, Shimon Tain is something else. So what are we going to do? So we have to be mavara, what really happened. But we can't be mavara. We can't be mavara the circumstances beyond any shadow of a doubt, because in the end of the day, nobody was really there. So what do we say? We say that a Beis Din that's super qualified, they have the right to ki'ilu be mavara what really happened. But a lesser qualified Beis Din, i.e. a Beis Din that doesn't have real smicha, they're not officially qualified to be mavara what really happened. So in other words, to give back mumminess will allow it, because you need to have a functioning society where the right money goes back to the right hands. But to pay out knassos, then you need to actually prove somehow that you know what happened. And we don't afford that kind of kavod to a Beis Din that doesn't have real smicha.
That's true. How do we even remove the Karen in that case?
No, because in other words, we need society to function. So Mamela, we gave Rishus to non-smuchim to be done basic dinei mamonis.
Another way you can look at it is, no, really, Beis Din doesn't have the right stock. Without smicha, they have no right to enforce it.
Right, but then the rush can't work, I feel like. The rush, within the rush, saying the...
Why does the guy have more power?
Yeah, meaning within the rush. So what's the yesod? It's not the smicha which makes it work. The smicha just gives them the clout that we mamish believe that they really know what happened. That we're saying that their psak is ki'ilu, this is the metzias. So there is one person left on earth who can still be dan dine knossos, Bisman Azeh, which is the Baal HaBayis to whom this actually happened, because he was there and he knows what happened. And Memela, when you know what happened, so Benogeya, to this one Nakuda, you have smicha. You're considered a mumcha in this one thing. Remember, we had the Lushan in the Gemara when we said in the beginning of third paragraph, Vaha Edim kimumchin dami. Edim are like mumchin, meaning what? They're such geniuses, they have such great smicha in giving edus? No, but they were there, they saw it. Nobody knows more about this particular circumstance than they do. So too, it's not that the smicha gives you the clout, it's that the smicha gives us the hanhaga that you really know what happened. So memela, somebody who actually knows what happened, would have the right to be dan dine knossos even bizman hazeh.
Was it based on two edim?
Right, so even with the two edim, but they're functioning through the system, and memela, once the system gets going, we don't allow the Beis Din to have that kind of clout.
Right.
That's also another. So I'm opening up a whole Pandora's box here of various issues. I just thought it was interesting to explain the rush this way. All right.